everybody. This is Andy Marquette, and I'm joined by my colleague and friend, Jove Bell, and we are the Wayward Women and Words. It's been a minute. How are you, Jove?
I'm good. I'm good. It's 2020, dude.
I know.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. We were like, December was crazy, but we gave everybody a heads up that it was going to be crazy because, you know, the hootenanny, the holidays, everything just is crazy. Mm-hmm. And now we are in a new year.
We are.
And so far, so well.
So for something.
Me anyway, it's going all right.
Yeah.
So there's that. I hope everybody else is having an okay time. The new year always, you know, it's totally arbitrary, right? I mean, time is arbitrary. It's like, let's designate this and create calendars and shit. Completely arbitrary. It's basically, it's just another day. But since we do this, since we do have these arbitrary designations, I know everybody right now is like thinking about, well, what kind of things do I want to do for the new year? What are the goals they have? You and I have discussed this. I don't do resolutions.
No.
Because I think that's just like way too much pressure. Mm-hmm. But I kind of have like a few things that I would like to work toward. And if I am able to like finish those and accomplish those things, yay. But if not, then it's still part of the journey, right? That's my approach to those kinds of things. You know, everybody's doing their strategic planning for the year, da 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 da. So that's kind of where I'm at, sort of like thinking about things that I want to be doing and would like to do, sort of like that. You know, resources allowing.
That yeah, kind of that's thing. That's what I have a list of like very, very grown up goals for this year. Mm-hmm. Like to the point where it's kind of like objectively probably like 20-year-old me would have been like, oh my fucking God, you're
same.
Old. But like from like same. You know, 48, almost 49-year-old me thinks that it's really fucking brilliant that I'm gonna get some stuff nailed. So.
Oh yeah, exactly. Yes.
This stuff has been on my mind forever and I need to just get it, you know, sorted. But
mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, younger me is horrified right now.
Well, you know, that's what's so funny too. Because I know I work with a lot of younger people, and by that I mean in their 20s and 30s. And man, some of these folks are already doing the adult planning shit that I would have been like, what? Fuck that party.
Yeah.
Back in the day. And I'm like, wow, you guys really have your shit together. That's so awesome. And I'm just like, okay, I'm just going to go over here and do my adult things and not tell you that it took me this long to do my adult things.
That's the thing about Gen X, right? Like, you know, we had, you know, yuppies, which great, right? Like we had like all these material focused whatever, but we worked hard to get our material things. We worked hard and we also played really hard, so our focus was all sorts of just fucked up. But
you know what, I've noticed too in talking to a lot of folks in my generation, there's like this undercurrent of nihilism. Because, you know, we came of age when there was like the Cold War and a lot of fear around nuclear devastation. Our generation was actually the first generation where both parents technically worked outside the home. So a lot of us were latchkey kids. We are the product of a lot of divorce and separation of parents or whatever. So a lot of us ended up becoming really, really independent very early. But we also had this like, what the actual fuck view, just cynicism and nihilism. And I think in my case, that played into like thinking, you know, I wasn't going to make it to adulthood, whatever mm-hmm. that was, or the world was going to be a really fucked up place anyway. So why the fuck should I bother? And I'm just going to like work really hard to make sure I'm okay, but I'm going to play really hard because shit is stupid.
Mm-hmm.
So that, yeah. I think there's like that kind of thing going on with Gen X.
I, you know what? Tara and I had this conversation earlier this week, right? About how, you know, we need to get this stuff sorted out because I mm-hmm. lived my entire life. My dad died when he was 46, right? And mm-hmm. so in my, like, my entire life, that was sort of my cutoff mark, right? Now I'm 48, mm-hmm. almost 49, and I'm, like, past my expiration date. And Tara's all, me too, because her dad had a heart attack when he was 45. So that was the magic number in her head. So we're both, like, Tara's turning 50 this year, and we're both past our expiration date, and we're going, we need to fix this shit. We can just fall over dead at any minute because we've both lived our entire adult life, like me, my entire life, because my dad died when I was 4. So that was when that number got imprinted. But Tara was in her her early 20s when her dad had mm-hmm. had his heart attack and died. Mm-hmm. Except now, if you are in an ambulance when you die, sometimes you don't die, right?
Sometimes you don't. But right. Back then, yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, he was dead and they, you know, zapped him and did other things, and then he was undead for a while. So I think technically Tara's dad is a zombie, but anyway my point is, it's, you know, we didn't think why bother with this stuff, because, you know, we're just stuck, like
we're just gonna like be like that.
Yeah,
that's interesting. Yeah,
so
interesting.
but I think that, you know, goes along with what you were saying about how we just sort of, our worldview is a little, plus we
different.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, we grew up with this whole idea that our generation is, you know, for the first time in a long time, our generation is not going to be better off than our parents. Mm. That, yeah, you know, mm. our life expectancy is
for shit.
Is going down, not up, right? So there are all these things about our generation that, you know, it's like, oh, well, fuck it.
I think, but the other thing that our generation did that is really interesting is that, you know, because the jobs that our parents and grandparents had, you know, good, solid jobs in the manufacturing sector and other kinds of jobs, those disappeared mm-hmm. because they were farmed out overseas. So what Gen X had to do was basically create its own industries. Mm-hmm. And so it's no coincidence that, like, the outdoor industry, the gear industries, that was Gen X, because mm-hmm. Gen X was like, fuck it. I have got nothing to lose. Mm-hmm. And so that's what they did. I'm actually kind of proud of our generation for being as independent as we were at very young ages. Most of us. I mean, you know, I don't know about you, but I was a latchkey kid. I was in charge of cooking for my sister and doing that kind of thing. And I mean, it was just like my parents just made sure we knew how to do these things. And we were at home alone when I was like, you know, 10, 11.
Yeah, so. Yeah, yeah. But you know what? My grandmother lived like right next door. And then when she was, awesome. when I was like 10, she moved in with us.
Oh, cool. So you had somebody there, though.
Right. Yep. So
that's good.
And you were too. We were out in the middle of
nowhere.
Nowhere.
Yeah. Nowhere. So we had to, like, you know, yeah. There were certain we had to learn to do in just in case anything happened. And that mm-hmm. was a real possibility.
Yeah. Gosh. Yeah, she moved in with us when she was younger. I was younger than that when she moved in with us.
Wow.
Good Lord. Oh, my God.
That's really cool, though, that she was around. Because yeah. My extended family was not. We were, like, far away.
My grandmother was an intense woman.
So was your mom.
I don't, well,
she got it.
We all got more mellow. Like, I'm intense. I think I'm pretty fucking intense. I'm mellow compared to my mom, and my mom was mellow compared to my grandmother. So at some point, one of my relatives, like my female relatives and the matriarchal line of my family, was like a fucking supernova, because yeah. It's gotten all like distilled a little bit. But
that's amazing. Oh. I love that.
Girl power.
Girl power.
In the original sense. Wow. Oh my God. Andy, did you know there's this website called findagrave.com? And you can, like,
I can know about that. But I haven't found any graves because I haven't looked. Tell me.
You can look up your, like, heritage and, like, follow it back. And as near as I can tell, that shit's accurate. Like, they actually, like, you know, there's some stuff missing, right? Like, you know, my mom's family, like, one of her sisters isn't on there. And, like, my dad's family, like, seriously, they needed to stop having babies. Fuck. That's a lot of kids.
But, you know, that was because to replace ones who didn't make it.
Oh no, they all lived to be very old.
Wow, that's really interesting.
Yeah, no, it was like, I this is how disconnected I am from my dad's family, right? Because he died when I was 4, right? Mm-hmm. So he came from like a family of 14. How did I not know that? How did I not know that?
My God,
right? At some point, you just
were
need
they,
to
like,
stop
making
make, no
or. Religious?
No. Oh, yeah. Another? Super religious, but not Catholic.
Okay.
Yeah.
Not Catholic. Okay.
Remember, I told you I grew up in a little cult.
Oh, that's right.
This is part of the cult.
I didn't realize your dad. See, because you don't talk about your dad because you lost him so
yeah.
when you were so young. So you don't really talk about him.
Same cult.
As part of the traditions that your mom follows.
Yeah.
So.
No. Same cult.
Interesting. Wow,
yeah. 14. Yeah. My mom, family of 9. This is why when I tell you I have a huge family, I fucking
what?
Around.
So. After your dad died, did you stay in contact with his family at all, or did your mom?
To some degree, yeah. I mean, yeah, but not like, I just, wow. you know, you know, we still see them. I saw them, last mm-hmm. time I saw anybody from any part of my family was when my mom died, but, mm-hmm. Well, that's not true. I saw my, whatever. Anyway, so I saw some of them then. But mm-hmm. you know how it is, like when you're
yeah.
around your, like my mom would tell me stories. My grandmother told me stories. I didn't have anybody telling me stories about
yeah.
my dad.
About him.
Yeah. yeah. So that does
wow.
make a difference. I mean, and the stories that I got were the filtered public ones, which is different
mm-hmm.
than
yeah.
the family
yeah.
stories. So whatever. Anyway.
That's interesting. Wow.
Yeah. It's
anyway,
a cool
the point
website.
That is awesome. We're going to go check that out. The point of all of this is adulting is hard.
It is.
And it looks like some generations have their shit together way better than others.
Yes.
I feel like after our generation was able to, you know, because we got hosed in a lot of ways.
Sure.
I find that we actually have a lot in common with millennials and younger generations, but we don't seem to have the ability or willingness to talk to each other because Gen X dealt with a lot of recessions. Gen X dealt with, you know, uncertainty in the job market, war. There's all kinds of similarities here. And it's just that we have a very different ethos about it than millennials.
Yeah.
I think we could like create all kinds of cool things together. You know, Gen X and millennials. And I also think Gen Z really has a lot of shit together. And I'm
mm-hmm.
just like, I think we should all just be talking to each other instead of about each other and across each other.
You know what millennials do that I think is just amazing? You know, you talk about how we created a lot of, you know, we created industry. Gen X created a lot of industry. Different, you know, companies came to entire.
Oh, millennials too. They
yeah,
have
well,
done some amazing things with tech.
Well,
amazing.
Yeah, millennials invented the whole idea of being a YouTuber. They created.
Yes. Oh my gosh, that was totally millennials.
Yeah,
yes.
They created this like new
this
level
thing.
Of celebrity out of a desire to play video games in their pajamas. Like, that's fucking amazing.
It's amazing, but it may or may not be a good thing.
Oh,
but on the other hand, I think it has what millennials have done with the internet is made it this amazing platform to find people and create things.
Yeah.
Sadly, like us, they've also like created a dark side to do that.
You know what? Millennials.
that goes with for everybody. You know
what else they've done that just impresses the fuck out of me? Like, seriously? Is they have distilled down what they think is important. Like, they've
yes.
really,
oh,
really
yes.
considered what their priorities are. And their focus on the material is, I mean, it's weird because it's as a generation, it's a very minimalist generation. But the things that they want, they tend mm-hmm. to want quality. So it's
yes,
like
that's true. That's certainly true.
Tiny houses, that whole movement wouldn't exist without millennials.
Without millennials,
and
mm-hmm.
you know, and I love that. I love everything about that.
They're definitely. I feel like their ethos, though, that they share a lot with Gen X, but it's like millennials don't really talk to Gen X because. At least I feel that way. Fortunately, I work with a lot of millennials, and so I talk to millennials all the time. And
mm-hmm.
I like talking to younger people and mm-hmm. finding out what they're thinking about and what worries them and offering, you know, a bit of my experience and getting their thoughts on things. I think, you know, it kind of cracks me up because I'll ask my younger colleagues, like, what do you guys think we should do about this? And they just kind of look at me like, wow, an older person is asking my advice. I mean, well, mm-hmm. yeah, because you guys have experiences that I don't. And you've been working in this field too. And what, tell me things. I want to learn. Let's do this. So I have a very different approach, I think, than some older people too.
I had the most disturbing thing happen, you know, because, you know, I recently started working again, like outside mm-hmm. of my home. Not that I haven't been working, folks, just I got a job where I actually have to go somewhere else. And
you have to leave the house.
Yeah. And the weirdest thing has happened in, like, I was doing it before, but I didn't realize how much I was doing it because I was the one in charge before. So when you're in charge of a room full of other people, you're just so busy thinking for everyone that mm-hmm. you don't really yeah. consider anything else, right? But now I'm not in charge of anything and I fucking love it. But I am still like, I'm so old and all these people are like, most of them are like, not most of them, but a good portion of them are younger than my oldest kid, right? And one of them said, you're like my work mom. And they said it with such great warmth and affection that I tried really hard not to show that I was absolutely fucking horrified. Because apparently, and now that I've considered it, I'm like, oh yeah, that's not so bad. But I just died a little inside with that insight.
No, like, no. This is what? What's so cool what? Too about
what? The millennial. I'm not that old, but I am that old. And I act like the work mom.
You're not, because one of the things that studies have shown, you know, surveys and whatnot, is that younger generations, and millennials included, like to have mentorship.
Yeah.
And they like to know that there are people in their place of work and in their lives who are in that role. I certainly didn't really have mentorship when I was growing up and when I was doing grad work and this kind of thing. I had to do everything on my fucking own. So I made it a point to become like a mentor to others because I didn't have it. And I know what that feels like. So
it goes deeper than that. Like, I'm like, oh, you've got a sniffle. I've got Sudafed. Do you need Sudafed? Or is your work right? Like, I am. It's not because I'm mentoring. Of course I'm mentoring them because I love to hear people's stories and I can't help but, you know, offer advice. But no, it goes so much more deeper than that. I am legitimately like, oh, have you eaten? You look like, why are you sitting there and not eating? Aren't you on break? Shouldn't you be eating? Like, you need to eat your lunch. I don't know. I didn't have any. Well, there's food. I have food here. Let me feed you. I am that person.
Oh my God. Well, you are a mom anyway. So
yeah, I just didn't.
That makes sense.
I didn't totally realize. That
makes sense to me.
It does. It does it. Make sense. I feel good about it. I want to take care of these people, but fuck my life. I'm the work mom. I just, whatever. Whatever.
Did you hear that?
I did. Did you get a call?
No, it said poor network connection and now it's fine.
Yeah, everything's going fine on my end. I don't have a lag. It's back. It could just be because I was too busy being horrified about being a work mom, but
I think you should be a work mom. I think that's awesome.
It's something.
Okay.
All right.
On a tangent, Joe. What the fuck?
Yeah.
Anyway, let's talk about the couple of blogs we had this week. We're still
No, before we go into that, we both said we have goals for the year, but we didn't say what they are. Do you want to share what your goals are? Or do you want to keep them private?
My goals are adulting. Is, you know, I got to get some shit in order in terms of making sure, you know, like the will. I got to do that.
Yeah, that's on my list for this year too. Okay, yeah. What else?
That's on my list. I need to get a financial advisor.
Oh, look at you being all grown up.
Shit in order.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm telling you, it's all about adulting for me this year.
You know what is on my list for this year? This is way more adulting than what you're talking about. I want to get all of for Tara and I, all of our like funeral arrangements paid for.
And, oh, that's super adult. Yeah.
And everything like outlined. Yeah, and
that's important though. It's
so important. I don't want my kids to have to worry about this stuff.
Exactly. You don't want to have to burden your family with wondering what the actual fuck they have to do.
Yeah, my mom made me do this stuff with her. And I'm telling you, it made everything so much simpler because I was in shock and all I had to do was say, this is what she wanted and point. Like, that was it. It was much, much simpler.
Yeah.
But still.
I mean, it may sound really morbid to the youngs listening right now, but, you know, you guys, you just never fucking know what's going to happen. So it's always good to just have an idea of, you know, what you want to happen to your shit. And also, and this is something that I've been thinking about more and more, is I want to have like a something that has all my passwords for social media and the things, right? Because you need, if something happens to me, I need somebody to be able to access those accounts and delete them or, you know, download the information or whatever for posterity, whatever the fuck they're going to do. But I would like somebody to have that information so that you don't have to argue with the tech platforms that, no, really, she's gone. Here's the death certificate, blah, blah, blah. You know, so like that. I'm just like, I'm looking around now to see if there's any kind of way I can do this to make it really easy on me and on other people.
You know what?
The other thing that I've been thinking about doing.
You know what Jeanette did for all those passwords and things when she was still lucid enough? Jeanette, by the way, dear listener, if you're a new listener, Jeanette was my best friend who died a couple of years ago from just this really horrific battle with cancer. So, you know, she had like that warning coming that this is what was, you know, she saw it coming. So she got... Actually, she didn't. Roxanne got it. Roxanne's another, like, her very close friend from childhood. Anyway, got her a, you know, those old school paper contact, you know, whatever. But instead of writing down, like, people's names and phone numbers.
Passwords. She
would alphabetically, here's the name of the place and here's the password. Here's the login information. And, you know,
I started doing that.
Yeah, actually, it's super well organized because it's in alphabetical order. Yeah, very cool.
That's a really good idea. I think I'm going to do that. So, I mean, but, you know, stuff that you don't think about today.
Yeah.
But it's stuff that's been on my mind as I get my stuff in order. And I just want it in order so I don't have to think about it down the line. And it's done. It's in order. We're good to go.
Yeah. Well, and you don't think about. Before you have to think about it, you don't think about how many things, how many accounts, how many financial arrangements that you need to have an actual, like, certified death certificate for in order to deal with. And if you just have, like, all these things, oh my God, this is so dark. Y'all, dear listener, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. But I mean, it's important to, like, have a plan.
Yeah.
So that's really what this comes down to. It's about having a plan and just getting organized. So that's really what I'm focused on this year is getting organized, getting a plan in order, and doesn't mean I don't have travel planned. I'm definitely going to do a few conferences this year.
Mm-hmm.
I have travel for conferences and whatnot coming up through. I'm planned through the end of May at this point. No, through July because I am going to GCLS this year.
Nice.
I actually scored a couple days tickets to Comic-Con in San Diego.
Nice.
I'm so excited because you have to do that by lottery. Like, I've been trying to get tickets for 4 years and I finally
congratulations
randomly get a couple of tickets. So I'm going to try to do Comic-Con just for those 2 days. Otherwise, my head will explode because it's so huge. I'm going to do that and see what it's like. Just to say that I've been. It's kind of on a bucket list thing, I think. So I'm going to do that. And then that takes me through the end of July. And then I don't have travel planned beyond that. But we'll see. So I've got some stuff planned in addition to the more serious stuff. Yeah.
I am glad that you are you and still have fun things planned in your world.
I know, it was getting really like, oh my God, I'm going to sit around and do my will, and then I'm going to, like, I want people to, like,
know, do this with
my
so boss. I know, it's so fucking grown up.
Fuck, yuck, let's talk about the fun stuff.
Yeah, well, so, this is Tara turns 50 this year, so one of the things that we are doing is, the whole year is Tara's, you know, we're going to celebrate Tara turning 50. It's the year of 50. And so, yeah, it's like, you know, a whole year of doing the fun, indulgent things that you would normally say no to about for yourself. So my goal, my job is to spoil the fuck out of her this year.
Right on.
Yeah.
That's an admirable and wonderful goal. Do it.
Thanks.
So, anyway, this is, I mean, the reality is, dear Youngs, as you're listening to this, the reality is that when you hit your 40s and 50s, you have to start thinking about, because some of you are going to have families, you're going to have kids, or stepkids, or, you know, found families, whatever it is. But you also, if you have a good relationship with your parents, you're going to have to start thinking about your aging parents. And that is something that has been on my mind for the past 4 or 5 years. And I actually relocated to be closer to my parents because they're pushing 80. And, you know, I just wanted to be able to be closer to help them if something were to happen, and, you know, to spend these years with them, as many years as I can, before, you know, the inevitable happens, as it does to all of us. So these are just things that you should maybe start thinking about, you know, especially as you marry, hook up, have kids, because these are things that are going to, like, stare you in the face. And yeah, younger me would have been like, oh my God, what the fuck? I'm going to go party. But I hit 30 and it was something I started like, oh yeah, I should probably get my shit together. And then, you know, life happened. Now I'm like, no, definitely. I'm getting my shit together. This is it. Got to do it.
Yeah.
So that's my thing.
Everything you just said.
The roaring 20s, y'all. And I'm going to be fucking getting my shit together so I can keep roaring.
Agreed.
Anywho, that's where I'm at. So, are we ready?
Yeah. Aren't we?
Oh, my God.
Your thing is beeping again. Make it stop.
Are you there?
I'm here.
I got some weird notice from Skype. Skype sucks.
Skype is amazing. Skype allows us to have this conversation.
I know, but it also can suck too. You can be two things at once.
Oh, that's good, because I am often two things at once.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let's do this. Ready?
Yeah, do it.
Let's get into the blogs we had this week, which weren't many because we're still cranking up after the holidays. So we were joined, Carson Tate.
Yay!
You and I were just talking about Carson's blog. Carson blogged on January 1st, so to bring us into the new year. And Carson always, at the beginning of the year, she always like says what she's up to. And I always feel like, God damn, how do you find the time to do this, Carson? She's got four book releases this year.
I'm pretty sure that Carson is a robot.
I am too. So she's got four. She lists some of the places she'll be appearing this year or she'll be attending this year. And she also has Carson... with her organizational strategy involves planners, Joe.
Yeah.
And so she said that she added a new planner insert to her Midori notebook. And so Joe and I were like, well, what the fuck is that?
Mm-hmm. So I read the word Midori and automatically filled in the word sour. That's how that went in my mind, Midori sour. So I learned something new.
So we looked it up. And Midori, and I guess this means we're plebes or something, I don't know. Midori is a Japanese stationer, and they've been in business since like 1950, and they do certain kinds of like journals and notebooks and travel planners and like that. And I was like, oh, okay, so it's a journal. Cool. So now I know another company that does this stuff, because Jove and I both have a thing for journals and paper and, you know, notebooks and stuff like that. So we went on to, of course, Amazon to look around and see what Midori had. And some of them are like super expensive, but what you do is, I guess, once you use up an insert, you take it out and you put in another one.
Yeah.
It's sort of cool. You don't have to like buy another one, you just get another insert. So I kind of like that. And I wonder if Carson has like files of all her inserts over the years. I'm going to have to ask her.
Oh, fuck, you know she does. You don't need to even ask that. Of course she does.
Yeah, that's true. And so then Jove and I were talking about paper. Both of us really love notebooks and journals and paper. And I don't, do younger people still get into that? They must. They must. People are still writing things down old school.
Yeah, I know millennials who are way into paper. So yeah. But they also utilize their electronics in a way that I never will be able to in terms of like organization and things like that. Same. So but yeah, I have so many, we were talking about this, how much we both love like the premium paper and how, you know, like we totally get like, cause I hadn't heard of Midori obviously, cause I thought it was a drink. So we looked it up. Right. And you know, this is definitely like pretentious elitist paper, and I am so deeply envious, and I want to spend the $50 to get the 36 page book. I want it. And the thing is I know if I get it, it will sit in the stack with all of my other, you know, pretentious paper books without me writing a single thing inside of it, because it's so intimidating, this beautiful, beautiful, beautiful paper. Mm-hmm. And the second I write anything, it's like stepping in, you know, in the new Snowfall. Like the second write anything, it's that pristine nature is gone. And you can't just use it like I'm going to make notes and go shopping or whatever. You can't, because the paper's so important. There's so much gravitas to this beautiful, beautiful, beautiful paper, right? Mm-hmm. And I just have stacks of these books. They're just empty.
Empty, same. I just like looking at them.
Yeah. I like to take them out and periodically touch them.
Touch them, same.
It's disturbing.
I'm stuck at paper.
I'm so excited that Carson has this that actually uses hers.
She's go Carson. And she also did a giveaway, which was a cool giveaway because she's giving away she's giving that away today on Saturday, an ebook copy of Out of Practice, which is her next one, and she's going to give that away before its general release. And what she asked people to do was to leave a comment that something that you intend to accomplish or are looking forward to this year. And I thought that was cool because it gets people talking about, you know, this is what I want to do, like you and I have been doing, and this is what I'd like to do, and this is what I'm looking forward to. Resolutions.
I'm going to leave a comment.
I'm not that. Okay, good.
My comment. Buy a Midori planner. I don't know that that's much of a goal, since it just involves spending money, and that's one of my strengths. Spending money, that's like my superpower. I spend money I have. A lot of people. Yeah, I'm good at it. I grew up in a world full of, like, you know, materialistic asshats.
Yep. Same. Anyway.
Yeah.
Okay, so Carson, I just want to let people know that for those of you who are Carson fans, and I know there are many of you, she has got, these are the books she's got planned this year, so keep your eye out. And Out of Practice is the second of her Legal Affairs romances. That's dropping in February. Drawn, a romantic suspense novel, is dropping in June. Double Jeopardy, a romantic novella, which will be included in Still Not Over You with stories by Ali Valley and Jenny Frame. That's in July.
That's cool.
And Spirit of the Law, a romantic suspense novel, in October.
Nice.
So you're taken care of. You've got like regular Carson Tate books coming. So yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Go Carson.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited for Carson and all her goodness. Okay, right on. Did you have something you wanted to add about, we were talking about paper and journals and how we just kind of have them.
Yeah, no, I talked about it, how I find it intimidating.
Same.
I find the blank page intimidating. Like it takes me to a level of absolute paralysis. Like I cannot write in on beautiful paper. I can't do it. I think this has a lot to do with, like, if I were a dude, I would have no problem. I would think that, you know, my, you know, a haiku about my latest crap would be worth writing down. Whereas, you know, I'm thinking that, you know, I've got this whole female imposter syndrome. I'm not, whatever, I can't write on this beautiful paper because whatever I'm thinking probably isn't good enough. So maybe I should just suck it up. Maybe that should be my therapy for the year, is make a point to write in all my beautiful notebooks. I need maybe to fill every single one of them with words.
Yeah. I like that.
Yeah.
A word.
I'm going to dedicate them to, like, haikus. That's what I'm going to do. First, I got to figure out what a haiku is, like what the structure of a haiku is, because I don't know that shit, but I'll figure it out.
Ashley Bartlett does.
Yes, Ashley Bartlett does. Maybe she'll teach me. Ashley, maybe can you please teach me how to do a haiku properly, because I'm not sure I know.
You know who else does?
Who?
Kay Aiton does, or as we like to call
Cotton.
Cotton. She does. She did a daily haiku every day for the Hoot Nanny.
Cotton.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So anywho, there we go. Thanks, Carson, and yeah, hope to. I will probably see you at GCLS. So
woohoo!
All right. On the second, RG Emanuel, the title of her blog, 2019, Don't Let the Door Hit You on the Ass.
Nice.
So, and as she says, 2019 was not a great year for her. She had to deal with some family illnesses, some family friend conflicts, some turmoil in loved ones' lives. And as RG puts it, my absolute failure in accomplishing anything for myself. I don't know if I would agree with that. But she also points out that, you know, illnesses and problems don't begin on January 1st and then they end December 31st. Some of these things that she's been dealing with are going to continue. But she hopes that with some of the hurdles behind, she can enter the new year with a ray of hope of achieving some goals. And one of those is writing. And RG points out that she hasn't completed anything of any length for quite some time. The writing gets pushed aside because all these other issues take priority. And as writers, we all are faced with that. And what ends up happening is you end up, I mean, some people call it writer's block. Some people call it burnout. Whatever it is, you've got other shit that is really pressing and just fucking with your creativity. Mm-hmm. And you can't produce. I experienced that this year. I had myriad conflicts going on in my day job and some shittiness and terribleness, and then other stuff going on with publishing. And Jove, seriously, I have not really written anything in probably since, like, I don't know, September, maybe. Mm-hmm. But again, I'm not going to beat myself up about it because shit happens and some things take precedence and you have to deal with those things. I'm glad that RG is planning on focusing on finding the time, hopefully, to focus on her writing so that she can produce something this year. I'm really excited for that. But I also know some of the things that she's dealing with. And when I said, as you age, you also have to deal with aging relatives, that is something that obviously takes precedence. The care of your loved ones takes precedence over writing. And I don't want to call this a writing block for RG. I want to call it sort of a writing pothole, because, you know, you have to adjust your life around writing, or you have to adjust writing to your life. And when your life circumstances change, you have to figure out what's going to work for writing. And again, I don't like to beat myself up for not producing. I just think, you know, fuck it. I couldn't, because I had this other stuff going on that was really fucking with me, and that needs to be dealt with. You can't put that aside. It needs to be dealt with. So that's where I'm at with that. And I'm just glad to hear that she's going to be working on finding that time to get some writing done.
Yeah. How about the fact, here's the thing that kills me about not all writers, obviously Carson Tate does not experience this, but the need that we have to place goals and expectations and therefore the ability to fail on something that is intended to be a creative outlet. Writing should be catharsis. It should feel good. We should feel good about doing it. And when we don't do it, we shouldn't feel like we failed in some way. We should feel like, you know what, this is something that we get to look forward to doing. And I don't know how to get to that actual legitimate headspace, because I'm like, I beat myself up over it all the time. So I totally get where, you know, where RG's coming from about how it feels like, you know, a disappointment or whatever. But she's very, very talented, and I'm very, very excited to, you know, that
to see what she does next.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I'm looking forward to what she creates, and I hope that she finds a way to give herself an emotional hug and not think of it as some sort of failure that she hasn't been able to write. I hope I figure out how to do that. I think we all need to form like a support group and sit down and figure out how to prioritize the things in our life that really matter, and to cut away the noise. Because I think we have a lot of noise, and I think we need to figure out how to eliminate that noise in a healthy
way.
It's
true.
Yeah.
And, you know, life is complicated.
Life is complicated.
Shit comes up, and as a writer, especially if you're a writer, and I don't know if this is a good thing or a bad thing, but I have a day job. So my day job pays my bills. Writing is like extra money to pay other kinds of things. But because I have a day job, I cannot devote 100% of my time to writing. And I wonder if I did have 100% of my time to devote to writing, would I end up being kind of a bust as a writer? Because, you know, I have that fear, like, oh shit, I wouldn't be able to produce like Carson Tate. I just wouldn't, because that's not how I'm wired. Mm-hmm. I don't know, though. Maybe I could. But, you know, it's a lot easier for me to have this day job and to have the benefits and the healthcare in place. If this country, God forbid, ever ended up finally getting some kind of universal healthcare where I wouldn't have to rely on employment to get healthcare, then I think I might actually take the leap and go full time as a writer and an editor. But who knows? What is that noise?
God, Tara's vacuuming right outside the door.
That's apparently hilarious.
Apparently she thinks I need to hear what it sounds like when wildebeests are in, you know, mating.
Are running?
Something obviously happened. Our vacuum doesn't normally sound like that. She sucked up something that she shouldn't have, obviously. Our grandson is coming over. He'll be here soon. So she always likes to make sure that, you know, she vacuums before he gets here, because he experiences the world at a much lower level than we do. So.
Yeah, this is a good point.
Yeah.
So that's where I'm at, you know.
I think, and it's taking me a very long time to get to this point in my life. You and I have discussed how I am very bad at saying no. I mean, I'm not. I can totally say no. It's just that I am very, okay, here's what I'm bad at. I'm bad at recognizing my limits and my strengths and my weaknesses. I'm very, very bad at recognizing that and applying it to my ability to say no. That's what I am. I'm actually really good at saying no. Just ask my kids.
It's context. It's all about context.
It is. And so this year, I feel like that's one of the things that I need to do going into the new year. Like, I'm finally recognizing that I need to sit down and acknowledge what is healthy, what is unhealthy, what I need to do, what can I cut away, what do I need to hold on to, what is actually important to me, and what am I doing because I've taken somebody else's priorities as my own. Like, what is actually important to me? And sometimes you don't have a choice. You have to keep somebody else's priorities as your own. You know, when my mom was dying, her priorities needed to supersede mine. They became mine, and that's the way it needed to be. You know, and that's okay. But
yeah, that is.
It's it can't remain static. It's something that is going to be variable, and you have to, your interpretation of what's actually important to you has to be fluid along with the things that are happening in your world. So
yeah,
my point is that that's one of the things that I'm trying to do this year, is to really evaluate the noise in my life and figure out what are my priorities and what have I prioritized for other people.
I think too, something that we as writers and as women, frankly, I wonder if women writers do this more than men, is we think we have failed our writing if we don't, you know, write 4 books a year or a book a year or whatever the fuck it is. And we are constantly like comparing ourselves, like, well, Carson Tate put out 4 books. Why can't I? It's like, well, because Carson's life circumstances are different, and she has, thank God, she's been able to prioritize and to do that for herself and for her fans. You know, that's awesome. And but it's like there's this weird like, oh, I'm a failure because I haven't been able to write. And I really think we all need to think about that and evaluate what that means, because writing, as you said, is supposed to bring you joy and it's supposed to make you feel good. And if it becomes something where you think you're failing at it, why are you doing it? Like, why have you made it this unattainable thing, or this thing that is judging you?
Exactly. Like, you're holding it as this, you're beating yourself up over not getting it done, but really, is it something that you needed to get done? Because if you really needed to get it done, you would have got it done, right? So, and how many things have you let other people's needs and priorities supersede your own, thus making you regret not getting it done? So what else has interfered that you could have not done in order to get done the thing that you really wanted to get done? And are you allowed to feel selfish about that? Yeah, you are actually allowed to be selfish.
And I think that's hard, though, for women.
Oh, fuck yeah, it is.
Let me look at, like, especially when dealing with family circumstances, oftentimes a lot of that falls on the women to like deal with family illnesses and crises and aging parents. A lot of that falls, if there's, you know, mixed, if there's men and women in as the offspring, oftentimes the brunt of this shit is going to fall on the woman unless she makes it a point to make sure her male relatives are stepping up. And that's not, yes, I'm generalizing a little bit, because there are circumstances in which the male relatives step up.
Absolutely. You know, absolutely.
But oftentimes there's like this inborn thing that women are socialized that they have to do. They have to,
they're the
put
caregiver.
Their needs aside.
Yeah.
Right. They put their own needs aside and they have to do this.
And
RG has experienced some of that, I think.
In a lot of cases, that is exactly what you want to do. Like, you know, like some people, I've never been, even when I recognized that I needed to prioritize my mother when she was dying, I resented the hell out of it, because I am not good at taking care of other people. That is not how I'm wired. I am selfish and whatever. But Tara, on the other hand, is very good at taking care of other people. It would never occur to her to do anything except respond to somebody in crisis. And to me, I go, God, it, like, emotionally, I have this whole thing where I have to talk myself into being the good friend or the good family member, where I was like, oh my God, could you have this crisis tomorrow when I'm better prepared? Oh my God, I already took my bra off. Do you expect me to leave the house? Like, you know, things like that, right? Like just,
oh my God.
Okay, that was very, very real. I made myself very vulnerable there, folks. So, you know, just recognize. So, do you know what I mean? Like, I have to, like, put myself through this whole emotional, like, circus. Okay, well, they didn't plan to get a flat tire. And, yeah, they should have AAA. But so, you know, I could have put them on my you know what I mean? Like, this whole thing where
this
I have to, like,
thing. Instead
work
of just
myself
being like,
through
let
it.
Let me just deal with this. Yeah. Let's just get through this and boom.
Whereas, by the time I'm done doing the emotional gymnastics, Tara's already halfway to wherever the person is. Right? Like, physically
or
halfway there.
The tire.
Yeah. It's like done. Right? So. And I'm like,
oh,
it's cold outside. I'm going to have to wear socks. I don't like socks. Like, this whole thing. Yeah. So, you know, some people are just better than others.
Some people, yeah. Yeah, but I just want to point out that you should never shortchange yourself if something brings you joy.
Yeah.
You know, it just, mm-hmm. and sure, I mean, you may have to put it off a little bit while you're, mm-hmm. you're dealing with whatever it is, but don't think you're not worthy of that joy.
Of right. That,
that I think is key, especially to the, if you're pursuing a creative outlet or if you have a creative life. And you know, Jove and I have gone through this, like, I suck because I haven't written anything, blah, 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 blah. And I still struggle, like, oh, I really do suck. But then I realized, you know what? Life took some precedence, and I don't feel that I'm a bad person because I didn't get my writing done.
Mm-hmm. Life happens, yo.
Yeah. Yo. So, but it's something I think that a lot of, I think women in particular struggle with.
Abso-fucking-lutely.
So just putting that out there, friends, if you can't get to something right away, do not beat yourself up about it. Mm-hmm. And treasure that outlet that you have,
mm-hmm.
and the time that you're able to do it, because you don't know what's coming down the pike, and you may end up having to spend 6 months to a year dealing with crisis or horribleness, because that's how life is. You don't, you know, we have ups and downs, and use those ups to fuel you for the downs, because that's just life, and it's a beautiful and sometimes awful thing.
What you said.
And it's just so people, just so you know that I'm not a downer doing all this adulting. Last night, Joe, I've been watching on the Disney Channel the Star Wars Rebels cartoon. It's so fucking good. But I stayed up till like 1:30 in the morning, because I am a huge fan of meteor showers, and the Quadratids were having their annual shower. So I stayed up so I could go outside in the fucking freezing temperatures and see some meteors streaking across the sky. And I did. I got to see some, and it was just so beautiful. This is like so awesome, because you look up and there's all these stars, and the moon set early, and it's like the Milky Way and the stars, and then you see these blue streaks across the sky, and it was just like, ah, this is amazing. So yeah,
you know,
take joy in the little moments too.
We live right next to an airport, so I see this shit all the time.
Blah ha ha. So
you so, are
anyway.
You are not impressed with me right now, but it's still true.
I'm not impressed with you. It's yeah, whatever.
I am.
So anyway, there are several annual meteor showers, and if you get a chance, try to go somewhere where there's very little light pollution, where you can actually see these things. Because I love looking up at the sky and just feeling kind of a part of this amazing cosmic journey that everybody's on. So it's just, you know, the little things too. Don't beat yourself up about not getting something done.
You get to rule the world. Go forth and do it however you want to. However it's your world.
All right, Jeff, take us out of here.
Oh, Jesus. Are we done? Did we say everything that we needed to say? We did. Holy sweet mother of God. Dear listener, welcome to 2020. Did Barbara Walters do that? The type
she did.
Oh, thank God. I wish I had seen it.
She did her 2020 thing, because it was trending on Twitter too.
I'm Barbara Walters, and this is 2020. I love that. I love everything about that. I'm so glad. Anyway, sorry. I digressed again. I'm just trying to close the damn show, folks. I'm Jove Bell, here with Annie Marquette. We are Women in Words. And you've been listening to us. I've completely lost I've lost the thread. It is gone. Somebody turned the page. It's blank. It's staring at me. I've got no words. I'm terrified by it. Dear listener, this has been the Week in Review for Women in Words. I am Joe Bell, here with Andy Marquette. You can find us online at womeninwords.org. And please like, subscribe, leave a comment, leave a review, leave all of those things, or leave nothing if that's what you're compelled to do. We do not want to push you. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for joining us in the new year. I hope that you have it in you to give yourself room to grow and live. And I don't know what I'm saying, so I'm just going to say goodbye. Thanks for listening. See you next week.